Yes, good afternoon. I'm glad that you are able to make this. Thank thee for coming and being part of our study. This is our last study on the series, What is Freedom of Choice? Last week we were studying cause and effect. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. That is physics 101. For every force, you have an opposite reaction. So, nothing happens by chance. Everything works in the environment of forces that surround you, like atoms in a room. You have atoms that move slow, which are what we call solid mass. And then we have those that move at faster rate than that. Then that's what we call liquids. And then we have some that move even at a faster rate of vibration, and we call that gases. So a typical one that we have all three that everyone is familiar with is water. Water in a solid state is ice. As you can see, the atoms move very slowly. They're tied together and it becomes a solid. You hit it, you break it, and you have a solid. That means that you cooled it off, and so the atoms are moving very slowly. You heat it up and then the atoms start moving more rapidly and vibrating, and that's now you have it into a fluid. And then we move it, and then we move up the atoms faster, heat up the temperature anymore, and we turn it into steam, which is in its gas state. So I was just trying to get us to understand how the physical world and the spiritual world all tie together. And how, as we understand how things work in the physical world, they work in the spiritual world. So everything has forces on it. Okay, when a car moves, it's moving with an engine and it's moving. Okay, and if it stops moving, you have to have brakes to stop it from moving. Otherwise, it'll just still drift. Okay, so that's the force of gravity, the force of nature. Okay, so we would like to take this to another extent because we have been dealing with causes and effect, the laws that govern us, if we know it or not. We have been finding out, and we've been trying to understand the point of freedom. Where do we have the choice of freedom? We found out from last week that the only way that we have choice of freedom is that we can choose our friends who can influence us so that we can go in the right direction. Or we pick friends that are the gangs or whatever and have them lead us in the wrong direction. Okay, so they are influencers. Okay, you can choose to of what curriculum you will be using. Okay, what books you will read. You can determine if you're going to read the according to the world, the curriculum that was created for the sanctioned scholars, okay, that are written by sanctioned scholars. So that means that the only material you'll be reading is what they want you to understand. That's why it's sanctioned. And then they unsanction others and put them on blacklists. So the sanctioned scholars is what we learn today. So the material, if you're teaching the world's view from a European racist viewpoint, white supremacy viewpoint, then you follow the curriculum that you have in your schools and in your churches today, which is all based on white supremacy. Okay, so it'll teach you those different things, and then you will act and react according to them. And that's the influence that's surrounding you, that you have chosen to use. So depends on what books you use. And then they give you a list of books in the schools, so what books you can read. Okay, and what books are going to give you their history, their story, which we call his story, H-I-S, his, and then S-T-O-R-Y, story, his story. Okay, and we can go to another area. The other area that we can go into is that we are studying it, not his sanctioned books. And so they give you, they say that we, everybody needs to be educated in America. So they have K through 12. That's required. So if you want to, you can start before K, you can do pre-K so that you can get on the ball. And if you want to go beyond 12th grade, then you can go to college. So you do have these particular options, but the material that they give you in the school settings that teach world history, that teach his story, all of these different things are geared only for one viewpoint. And the viewpoint is based on the environmental influences that will have you to think a certain way, to act a certain way, and to react a certain way. It's called propaganda. And we get that through our music, through our media, through TV, through the books that we read, through the history that we're taught, through the education of the churches, Sunday school lessons, Sabbath school lessons, through books that we read for history, art, mathematics, science, and all the above. Okay, so we understand that. So that's what we were covering last week. And we were talking about that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We asked everybody to take this challenge. The challenge is for you to spend every day sometime reading the scriptures, not Sabbath school lesson, not Sunday school, reading the scriptures, the Bible itself. And then being able to also listen to the Bible. So that means you would get headphones instead of listening to music, you would turn on the Bible. When you're in the car, you're going to be listening to the Bible, CDs or whatever thing that you have. When you're exercising, you'll be listening to the Bible. When you're cleaning your house and you have nothing on, you'll be listening to the Bible. Such that you'll now be filling your mind, your being, and now that's a force, okay? The force is not the curriculum of the world. It's now the curriculum of Yahweh's spiritual walk. So you're feeding your inner man or woman, your spiritual being, your essence, your existence. And as you feed this, then they start to grow. Your spiritual being starts to grow. You become more aware, and Yahweh will reveal more things to you. And so the purpose of this is for one purpose, for you to grow and develop. But as we do this, we have to give up certain things. We have to be willing to follow Yahweh, and no matter where he leads us. Okay, so what we're looking at today is called predetermined system. Since we live in a predetermined system, we need to understand the forces that surround us in this environment. The environment will shape you. The environment will affect you. And that's why we talked about the environment earlier, of what goes into your mind, what you're thinking, who you hang out with, what curriculum, what materials you're getting into your brain. So that's one way. And so if you grow spiritually, you're constantly getting the word in you and you start memorizing the word. We talk about different scriptures. Okay? When we talk about Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So this is an easy way for you to memorize scripture by putting them to songs. And so instead of you singing, you know, the pop, 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 or whatever they're singing, you can now be singing the word of Yah, the word of Yahweh, the word of your creator, the word of Elohim. So this becomes part of you. Memorizing the scriptures will be vital so that you can become a strong person in Yahweh. And there's lots of ways to memorize scripture, as I just explained to you one. And hopefully in our study here and through our time together, I'll sing some other songs from the scriptures for you, from Proverbs, from Psalms. And if I can get my little group, I had a little group that we had back in the day. My sister and my ex-wife and a few others. And we would sing songs, and we have a songbook. Matter of fact, Brother James, and Brother Clifton, and Michelle, and what do we call her? Carolyn. I mean, those were the core people that were part of our group, our Bible study group. And we raised the children on that. And so we'll see. We'll see if Yahweh Blake's can open up an opportunity for them to be here when we do this study. And we'll sing some songs to you. And you'll be able to, I think you'll like them. And I think you'll want to memorize them and learn them. And you'll be able to play back this tape anytime and sing the songs with us. Okay. So that predetermined of the environment around you of what you're thinking. So let the word become part of you. That's what we studied last week. Let the word grow in you. And less so that you can grow up on the meat of the word. Right now, you have to start off with the milk, start off with the baby food, okay? And eventually, we will develop into food. Now, remember, meat, M-E-A-T, in the Bible means food. It does not mean flesh, okay? Like today, we have it perverted. We're calling meat flesh, okay? Flesh with meat interchangeably. But that's not what Yahweh created. Yahweh created the herbs for the healing of the nations. He created the vegetables for healing of the system of our bodies. That's what you are given to eat, and giving you fruit to cleanse the body. And these are delicious foods and fruits that he has given to us. And he would like for us to live in accordance with his laws. So that's the whole key. If you violate his laws and eat the unclean animals, you're going to come up with high blood pressure, diabetes, all of these different things, cardiovascular diseases. The number one disease that African Americans face today is cardiovascular disease, because we eat so many of the unclean animals that Yahweh has forbidden for us. And he says that if we did, then we would come down with these curses. So there's blessing and curses. And the Bible says, I set before you this day blessings and curses. Choose blessings so that you might live. Okay? And so that's what we are putting before you. You can choose either one. You can fill your mind with either one. Fill it with the word or fill it with the world. And that will predetermine of how you will act, how you will be, and how you will exist. Your very essence of your being. Okay. So what else are we talking about? We're talking about the sinful flesh. You have the sinful flesh, and it wars against the spirit. And we're going to be reading some of that, and you'll be able to get a clearer understanding of what the Bible is saying in reference to some of this. Okay, so the next thing that we want to look at is, what is the predetermined system? It's based on people's lack of understanding and knowledge of what laws and forces guide and influences our choices every day. Now, some people say, hey, I don't want to believe any of that stuff, bro. I don't believe any of that. Ain't nobody controlling me. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. Well, you are totally deceived. Totally miseducated. Surely don't know what's really going on. Okay, so what do we want to do? Well, let's turn to some scriptures to help us get a little, as they say, a little clarity on the situation here. Okay, and so you think that being ignorant on having a misunderstanding, on having misknowledge is okay? Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to turn to chapter 2. I'm going to look at verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show yourself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? So the Bible lets us know here very clearly. So we must study so we can have a deeper understanding of Yahweh's word. Not study commentaries. Not study Sabbath school lessons. Not study Sunday school lessons. But actually understand the word of Yahweh. Now, if you don't do that, what happens? Well, you're saying, well, I ain't got time, I don't study, I ain't... Okay, well, let's see what happens. Let's read in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Now, there's lots of us that don't want to think for ourselves, don't want to act for ourselves, want other people to think for us, and want to do what the crowd does. And lots of us don't even know that that's the way we are. We just go along with the crowd, influencing forces around you. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim. So, in this verse, very clearly, he makes mention that we have forgotten the laws of Yahweh. And he says, because you have forgotten the laws of Yahweh, Yahweh said that he will forget you. Now, you might think that's a little harsh in saying, well, Yahweh shouldn't be thinking, you know, shouldn't treat us like that. But that's what it says. And so Yahweh expects us to what? To understand his word. He gave it to us for a reason. He didn't give it to us for it to sit on our bookshelves and collect us. He put it there so that his people might be able to understand one day of how things are influencing them all around them, and they have no clue. Okay? So he lets us know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. How have we rejected knowledge? By not understanding it. Like, we should understand the laws that Yahweh has put in place, the laws of the cleansed animals. And because we reject and we don't want to accept the clean and unclean animals that he has written in his word, we reject that knowledge. And so when we come to the doctor, when we're old, they'll say, give up the pig, give up the lobster, give up the shrimp, give up all of these things that are killing you. And you decide then that, hey, I listen to man. Okay? Because you don't think Yahweh has any knowledge. You don't think he's smart. He's the one who created all of this stuff. And he says, I will also reject thee. Who's going to reject us? Yahweh will reject us if we reject his word. Now, some people say that I'm not cursed. How do you know you're not cursed? Have you read the curses and the blessings that's in the Bible? No, I don't have to read the blessings and the curses. I'm a Gentile. And the Bible says that I'm not under the curses, because I have Jesus. And that puts me from under the curses. And I'm saying, no, that's not true. That's not biblical. Okay? He says he has saved us from the curse of the law, which is death. Okay? If you follow him, that's one thing. That's talking about the spiritual death. That's not talking about physical death. Everybody's going to die. The curse has been placed upon this earth. Adam and Eve brought the curse into this earth. Okay? So you're not exempt from being outside of God or Elohim. Okay? And that's the mentality that we have. So we don't even get it when Yahweh tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of his word, lack of knowledge of what to eat, of what to drink, of how to act, of where to be, what to read, what to say, what to do. We don't know that. So we're following the way of the world. And remember, we're in Babylon. the great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. Okay? We are in Babylon. And we are in the belly of the beast. And we are being consumed by the beast and his, you know, in your stomach, you eat food. And what does it do? It digests with hydrochloric acid. It breaks down and it breaks down the food. And so that's where we are. We are being broken down in this system, in the belly of the beast. And we are just conforming to them, not even knowing what's going on. Okay? And that's because we lack knowledge of what's affecting us from our surroundings. The Bible is teaching us this. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. You could be a priest to man. You can go and join these denominations and be part of this Christian movement, as they would call it. Yeah, you can be part of that. You can go get your seminary degree and, you know, and be buried. That's what they call them, the sanitarium. That's where you go. You go to, you know, you go to those schools to get what? To buried. So people go in there wanting to follow Yahweh and walk, come out not believing in Yahweh at all. Because they are no priests to him. But you are learning the authorized sanctioned scholars way of keeping people in check. Notice what it says. There will be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forsaken the law of thy Elohim. See, that's the key. Did you forsake Yahweh's Elohim? Oh, you're a legalist. I'm a legalist? Wait a minute. The Bible is telling us that when we forsake the law of Yahweh, if we don't believe in it, then he's going to what? He has rejected us. I'm not rejected because I am a child of the king. Why do you think you are a child of the king? Because I believe in Jesus. Okay, it's fine. You can believe in Jesus, but you have to realize that Yeshua is talking about a changed life. Do you know what the word atonement means? Becoming one with the Messiah. Becoming one with them. At one mint. We are cemented together as one. And you can't, if you're not following Yahweh's will and his laws, okay? You can't be, the Bible says the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. The two are contrary, one to the other. So which one are you following? Are you following the world? Are you being conformed to this world? Or are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? We read that last week. So we can be conformed to this world by the music, the TV, and all the different things that they have to offer, their books, their education system. Okay, you can follow all of that. Their materialism of what they think is important. Okay, and it says that seeing thou hast forsaken the law of thy Elohim, I will also forget thy children. Now, what did he say? He said that what happens to you is not just going to be left on you. It's your children will be affected. And that is serious. Because the things that we do or refuse to do, and the things that we try to practice or that we try to force on our children is not good. We force on them to obey the, you know, the laws of white supremacy. And we, you know, we wind up understanding that they don't want to follow this. And so we get mad because they don't want to go to church with us anymore. Well, the reason why they don't want to go to church here anymore, because they can see through all the nonsense that we believe in. And so they say, no, we would rather pass on all of this stuff. And then we get mad with them and say, okay, we shouldn't have sent you to college because now you know too much. No, you don't know too much. The only thing is that you have now come to the point of realizing that you've been hoodwinked. Okay. So we've looked through the book of Hosea already. We've read about that. Okay. So we must study so we can have a deeper understanding of Yahweh's word. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, which we read earlier. Okay. What was our boy Timothy saying to us? Study to show yourself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is that what you're doing now? Are we really waiting on Yahweh? Are we getting a deeper relationship with Him, or are we deceiving ourselves? We say we go to church, but you think going to church means anything? No, it doesn't mean a thing. Most people don't even remember what the person preached on right after they come out of church. Ask them the next day or two, they have no clue. So, it is all a joke. But the key is to study, to show thyself approved. Unto who? Unto man? No. Unto Yahweh. A workman, right, that needeth not to be ashamed. So are you ashamed? Depending on what you're reading. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you are wrongly dividing the word of truth, yes, you're ashamed. And you should be ashamed that if you're misunderstanding the scriptures, because that's what the dogma you was taught as doctrine from your church, from your denomination. Okay? That's fine. But the Bible says for you to study, that's why I said for you to get the word, listen to it all day, read it, sing it, do all of these wonderful things. And Yahweh will bless you. We ask people to take a challenge by feeding their minds with the word of Yahweh for just 1 week. And if you can tell the difference in your spiritual experience or walk. Now just imagine if you did that, not just for a week, but for a month. Not just for a month, but for a year. Not just for the year, but for the rest of your life. Decades of this. Wow. You will be a powerhouse for Yahweh. Now some people said, yes, I've been to church 10 years, 5 years. Okay. Have you been reading His word every day? Have you been listening to it? Have you been filling your mind with it? Or are you still a babe, as we read last week? You know, babe still needing the milk of the word. Let us grow and exercise our experience. Just do that experiment with me, and please get back to me anytime during the week, whatever, on this time frame, and send me an email that goes to our website, www.peopleofcolor.com. That's www.peopleofcolor.com. Okay, and I would hope to hear from you. Last time, I didn't hear from anybody. I just don't know what's up on your minds, but hey, what can I say? All right. So now we also would like to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It's a very important chapter, I think. Something for us to understand. Okay? It says, Romans chapter 8 says, if we suffer with the Messiah, then we will be glorified together. Now, the verse starts off with, and if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs with Messiah. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, see, when people read this verse, they were saying now, and if children, so we're the children of Yahweh. And then heirs, we're heirs of Elohim and joint heirs of the Messiah. And how did you get that way? By not reading, by studying Sabbath school lessons, Sunday school lessons? By feeding your mind with the propaganda that the world is giving you through the media and TV and videos and all that? Is that what you're telling me? No. Well, I'm a child because I said I accept Jesus. That don't mean nothing. The devil, hey, the Bible says that there'll be people come up and say they know Jesus, and that don't mean a thing. Okay? Did He change your life? Did He change your thought? Did He change your attitude? Did He get you to study His word more? Did He get you to memorize? Did He get you to sing His word? Is His word a part of your thoughts, your mind, your existence, your being? If it ain't, that's, whatever you're talking is nonsense. You jump and holler in church, that don't mean nothing. Notice what it says. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with the Messiah. Okay, who is? If so be that we suffer with him. Oh, that's the part they leave out. But you got to go through suffering. Child. It says that we have to suffer with him. Then, if we suffer with him, then we are joint heirs. Then we are children. Then we're heirs of Elohim. Ah, if we suffer with him, did he suffer? You better believe he suffered. Mm-hmm. If so be that we suffer. He didn't say that you're joint heirs and all that. If you don't suffer, he said, if so be that we suffer with him. That we, now, and what's going to be the reward? That we may be also glorified together. Wow. So he is going to give us glory, honor, and all of these different things. And you might be saying, Okay. You telling me I have to suffer first? That's what it said. I don't know if I want to do all that. Okay. You might not. But he says, if we suffer with him, then for sure, without a doubt, we shall be glorified with him. Now, what type of glorification are we talking about? Well, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He had knowledge. He had wisdom. He had understanding. Okay, first of all, we need to just get basic knowledge and understanding so we can follow him. How do we get that? By what we talked about, by studying the word, filling our hearts, our minds with the word of Yahweh. Okay, let's read on a little further, because I want to talk about some of the suffering that Daniel had to go through and so forth, and what were the results of that. But let's read a little bit more so we can get an understanding. Okay, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. So now he's even telling you that that when you suffer in this present day, so you got to suffer. So as you suffer in this present day, then it's not going to be compared to the glory that you're going to get. Now you might be saying, well, that's the glory in heaven. No. He's talking about glory right here on the planet. He can give you glory right here. It ain't the glory of man, okay? So let's not get confused with that. It's not materialism, as they will call it, the prosperity gospel. It ain't that. No. We've been talking about knowledge and wisdom and having lack of knowledge and wisdom and being rejected by Yahweh. So now here, we're talking about what? We're talking about suffering. What type of suffering, okay? And we're going to talk about that. I said Daniel did suffer, and we'll go over that and what blessings he got. But he says, Paul makes mention that it is not to be, you know, compared. The suffering that we're going to go through to the glory that we're going to have. For what is the purpose of this? To be at one with Yahweh. At one meant, that's atonement. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Elohim. That's what this is all about. The manifestations of the sons of Elohim. These churches, we're not manifesting no Elohim. Okay, we have to manifest Elohim to the world. So that's what this is all about. This is about memorizing the scripture. This is talking about the mind of the scripture being in you and taking over. I remember one brother told me, man, pastor, I was studying, you know, he was quoting this, quoting that. I'm checking every quote out. And he was like saying, Brother Emmanuel, you just, you know, you're studying the word too much. You're studying too much. Much study. And I'm saying, yeah, but that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to study. And I remember one sister, she was in the audience. She said that she never forget that. There's something wrong with what's going on here. If the brother says you study too much. I study the Bible like I study my textbooks as an engineering student. That's what I was doing. That's all I knew. So, anyway. So. This is what we need. We need to study depth and knowledge and understanding. Allow Yahweh to change us. The expectation of the creator waits for the manifestation of the Son. What are we talking about? The earnest expectation of the creator, of the creature? So the creature, all of nature is crying and waiting for us to manifest ourselves as the children of Elohim. Notice verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Okay, so it says the creature, the animals, the nature, and everything is subject to vanity. Why is it subject to vanity? Because Adam and Eve, we were tricked. Eve was tricked into eating of the tree, eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. When that occurred, we had fallen from our spiritual condition into this sinful flesh that we find ourselves in today, on the sinful planet, on the sinful earth. And so we have the sinful flesh. So everything else, we were given to be have dominion over this. We were gods in this world, as we would call it. Or we were kings and queens in this world, however you want to phrase it. And we had communicated with nature, and nature was in communication with us, and we were just working together, and we would walk in the cool of the day, we would hear the voice of Yahweh, and we would communicate with him, and it was like, wow. And so Lucifer said, "Hey, listen, guys, I think y'all missing something." And he was saying, "What we missing?" He says, "You know, you can be as gods, knowing good and evil." Ho-ho! But they were already gods, so how? But she didn't know who she was. Just like today, the African Americans who live in America, the Africans in the African diaspora in Haiti, in Jamaica, in the islands, in South America, and all the different places, been the African diaspora dispersed around the planet. They don't know who they are. They don't know that they are the people of the book, the African Hebrew Israelites of the Bible. That this is your book. This has nothing to do with the white man or white supremacy. This only has to do with the Bible, with you, and he has chosen you to be example to the world. And so the creation is waiting for us to manifest ourselves to Yahweh. You know, a lot of people are spiritual. You know what I mean? They are spiritual. A lot of Africans, that's just our nature. So we were able to endure the slavery of America and still come out as beings. But we've come out under a different name as Gentiles. We've come out of who we don't know who we are. We have no self-esteem. We've been thrown all of this garbage. And even though they had chained us in physical chains and changing training, chaining our minds, we can still come out through the word of Yah. If you don't follow the words of Yah, if you don't allow the words of Yah to take control of your very being and existence, then you will be caught up in the belly of the beast, and the beast will dissolve you. The Bible says that the Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so we are to manifest ourselves as the sons of Elohim. Then we brought all of the creation in vanity, into vanity, and in subjection to death. We did that by reason of those who have subjected it. And we subjected it to that. Because the creature itself, verse 21, still in Romans 8, because the creatures itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. There you go. See, I told you. We will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of Elohim. And then we will be able to communicate with our people and be able to have nature coordinate with us. Right now, nature's in rebellion to us because we're in rebellion to Yahweh. Now, notice what else it says in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So we have all of creation that we had violated Yahweh's will. Now, so all of creation is connected to us. See, we're connected to the creation. We talked about that last week. We talked about that Yahweh made Adam from the dust of the ground, the dirt. So we were connected to the dirt because we're part of the dirt. The same elements that make up the dirt and the earth is in us. The same proportion of water and solid is 70-30% is in us. And so then he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that's when we became a living soul. It takes the body and the breath. If your breath leaves you, then you're not no longer living, so you're a dead soul. Okay? And your body goes back to the ground, and your breath goes back to Yeshua, who gave it. Not your spirit, not your, not your soul, because your soul is, you became a living soul when the two are combined. When the two separate, you stop breathing, then you're no longer a living soul, because that was the definition of a living soul. Don't make it complicated. I know they'd be talking about all of this stuff. That's not complicated. That's complicating it. It's very simple. You became a living soul. You have your body and your breath. If your breath leaves you, then you're no longer living. So you're at what? Dead soul. Simple. Okay? So, in this state that we find ourselves in, that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now. Okay? So like I said, we were connected. So when we fell, we brought all of creation and all that is there down with us. And so we have subjected the whole creation to this. Now, they were supposed to be in subjection to us. And so there's a battle between us and them. And it's the same battle between our flesh and our spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. The two are contrary to one to the other. Does that, one does not want to obey the other. One does not want to cooperate with the other. So that's why it's called sinful flesh. And then when we have the spirit of this world, when we're born with sinful flesh, where the law of sin dwells. And we are also born, we're not born again, we're just born that our spiritual father is Lucifer. Okay? So that's why you got to be born again so you can get a new spiritual father. Right, if you were born with a spiritual father of Elohim, then you don't need to be born again. Okay, so you have your flesh, your sinful flesh. You have your you have also your father is the devil. Your spiritual father is the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. That's in the book of John. So Yeshua said. Then you have your mind. You have the carnal mind. The mind that's at enmity with Elohim. The enemy of Elohim. So you have the mind that's the enemy of Elohim. You got the law of sin dwelling in your flesh. You have the spirit of this world. Okay? And that's what it says. You know, the spirit of this world. Okay? And who's the god of this world? Lucifer is the god of this world. So you have his spirit. The spirit of this world. And this child that dwelleth in the children of disobedience. And we know that we're disobedient. That's why we have to be born again. And then you have will. You think you have free will, but you have will. You are held captive, basically, at the will of Lucifer. At the will of Lucifer himself. So you're held captive at the will of the influences around you if you don't understand these laws. If you can fill your mind with the spirit, with the word of Elohim, you can sing the songs of Jerusalem, of Yahweh. If you can memorize his word and let it be in essence part of you, then at that point, and only then at that point, as you cry out to him for him to change you, he renews you. He will give you a new mind. He will transform your mind, transform your heart, give you a new heart. He's not giving you a new flesh. Okay. He will put a new spirit within you. You have the spirit of Elohim, and the spirit of Elohim will wars against the law of my flesh, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's Romans chapter 7 experience. I mean, we covered all of this before, so we just quickly going through the application of how all of these things tie together in scripture. Okay, so now what things do we have to suffer? You said that we have to suffer, right? Okay, we read a moment. It says, if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified with him. Okay? And so we should be glorified when? For in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, when does the glory be revealed? If sure, we're talking about, we need to know, we need that stuff now. He wants to do that now. He wants to do that in your life. So, but if you take up my challenge, if you go and memorize the word, if you let the word fill your mind and cut off the TV, cut off the music, cut off all that stuff and concentrate on that. And when you drive into school and so forth or wherever you're going and plug in the CDs in, if you let this become part of your very being, you will see a change. Here on planet Earth. Now, are we talking about heaven? Here. Because if you ain't changed here, you ain't going nowhere. There is nothing for you on the other side. There is no glorification because you didn't suffer. Okay, let's go over some good examples here. Let's look at Daniel for a minute. You know, we know Daniel. We know who Daniel is. Daniel chapter 1, all right? Let's look at that. Let's start at verse number 17. Okay. As for these four children, Elohim gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuch brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. So notice what that says. So they follow the laws that Yahweh laid out in reference to diet reform. And because they followed the diet reform following Yahweh, guess what happened? They became 10 times wiser than anybody else. Wow, but wiser than their teachers, wiser than anyone else. And so this is, he says, if you suffer, and how did they suffer? By not eating what everybody else ate. Now, some people say, I'll never give up meat. I'll never give up the pig. I'll never give up the lobster. I'll never give it. Well, then don't give them up. The delicacies of Babylon didn't stay in your lost condition, in your clogged up mind. And eventually the doctors are going to tell you got to give it up. So you can give it up to save life on planet Earth when you get older, or you can give it up now so that you can save your life, that you can live longer, you can live more healthier, and your mind can be clearer. And you can allow Yahweh to communicate with you at a better rate. Okay? If your mind is all clogged up, he can't communicate that easily. So, please, listen to the words of Yah. Allow him to change your very being and existence. And so, as we read that, you know, we rejected the law of Yahweh, so he has rejected us. So, because Daniel and the three Hebrew worthies were willing to yield themselves and follow his diet, they were given blessings above everyone. So Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 through 20 shows us that by example, the three Hebrew worthies was glorified after going through 3 years of being on Yahweh's diet versus the Babylonian diet of today. Or as we would call it, the standard American diet. Babylonian diet, same thing. They received wisdom and understanding 10 times that of their teachers. Is that what you seek in your life? Being glorified by Yahweh? See, people have not even talked about this stuff in the churches. But yes, you can. You can be. Follow our health laws. All right, visit our website. Check it out. www.peopleofcolor, the numeric number 1.com. Visit it. In there, we go through details. We have how to become a vegetarian, how to live off raw food, how to heal through natural remedy. All of these different things are there for your understanding that it's all scriptural. This is all the laws that Yahweh said that were there. And now we have them at our access. The diet of a vegetarian diet is much greater variety than you think. Go visit the website. You will see it for yourself. Excuse me, I'm not exaggerating. I'm being truthful. Okay, I said that www.peopleofcolor1.com. No space. Okay. Why do the creation moans and groans for the manifestations of the sons of Elohim? Why? Adam and Eve were given free will. And look at what that did with them. Look at what they did with it. As a result, we find ourselves under the law of sin and death, found in our members, or dwelling in our sinful flesh. Notice what Galatians says. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. Let's see what verse Galatians said. Galatians 5, verse 7 tells us that the flesh wars or lusts against the spirit, because the two are contrary one to the other. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Now, let me ask you this question. What does it mean that you're not under the law? It says the spirit wars against the flesh. Romans chapter 8 is a good chapter. And as we're reading here, Galatians chapter 5. This I say unto you, verse 16, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, so then, if you walk in the spirit and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, then you're not under the law of the flesh, the law of sin and death, which is in your flesh. So that's what law he's talking about, that you're not under. Okay? He's not talking about you're not under the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about that the law of the spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah, which have made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the law he's talking about. He's not talking about the law of the spirit of life. He's talking about the law of sin and death. I don't know if you get that. This I say, then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, or they're fighting one another, they're warring against each other, and the spirit against the flesh, they're contrary. The spirit says go this way, the flesh says go this way. The sinful law of sin, remember, you're talking about the law of sin in your members, which is contrary to the law of the spirit of life, which is in the spirit, which is in the Messiah. So if you have a spirit that wants to follow the law of the spirit of life, and you have a flesh that wants to keep the law of sin, then you have a battle between the sin and the walking in the spirit. You have this battle going on. And so he's saying you have two laws there that are fighting against it, the law of the spirit and the law of sin, the law that is in my members. And so he says, read Romans chapter 7 if you haven't. Romans chapter 7 talks about this struggle. And so this struggle here makes it crystal clear that he's referring to which law, whichever one wins out. and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. It's not saying the Ten Commandments. He's saying that you're not under the law of sin and death. Okay, let's read Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Just so that we can get a feel. Because I think we don't understand that. I don't think we really have a grasp on that. You think we have a grasp on it? But I want you to make sure that you understand that which law are we under. We've done the study on that before. So those who are being told that you're under, that you're no longer under the law of Yahweh, please, that is a misquote of the Bible. That's a misunderstanding of the scriptures. Even though that is the prevailing teaching in the churches. Okay, so he says, only if you're not led by the Spirit, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. But what about if you aren't led by the Spirit? Then you are under the law. What law? The law of sin and death. It didn't say because you said, hey, I want to not be. It didn't say that. Don't say that at all. But let's look at Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Notice what it says at verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Ho, to who? To them which are in Yeshua the Messiah. And that's where everybody stops. Oh, yeah, see, there's no condemnation. I'm not cursed. I don't have the curses blessed. I have all the blessings. And that's not what it says. It says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yeshua the Messiah, who walk not after the flesh. Oh, that's what it said. Oh. But now if you're walking after the flesh, then guess what? There's still condemnation. So he's saying that he's trying to help us understand how to walk after the Spirit. Okay, and if you don't walk after the flesh, then you're not under the law of the flesh. That's obvious. If the law of sin dwells in your members and you're following it, then yes, you're under the law of what? Of sin and death. Notice what verse 2 says. For the law of the Spirit. Oh, you didn't know that the Spirit, there's two laws here. The law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah have made us free from the law of sin and death. Now, this is another way you can read that scripture. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua Messiah have made me free from the law. And you can stop right there. Free from what law? And that's what it was saying in Galatians chapter 5. What law are we talking about? Ye are not under the law. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The law of the of sin and death. That's what it's saying in Galatians chapter 5 verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, notice that's the same thing it's saying here. For the law of the Spirit in Yeshua the Messiah have made me free. Okay, so that means what? That the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah, if you, that means you're being led by the Spirit, okay, have made me free from the law of sin, from the law. And so that all it's saying over here is, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Which law? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Yeshua the Messiah? No. Is it talking about the law of the sin and death that's in your members? Yes. And that's where most people misunderstand the scriptures. Now, what does Romans chapter 7 say about this? Does Romans chapter 7 say that we would be confused by reading some of this stuff? Notice what it says. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. So if you don't know the laws and the different types of laws there are, there's the sacrificial law, there's the law of health, there's the law of statutes, of judgments, of commandments, of sacrifices. So if you have all of these different laws, which law is he talking about? And you have the law of sin and death. You have the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah. You have the law of the mind. Which law are we talking about? And so many people want to escape. And so they have been taught by the authorized sanctioned scholars, by the white supremacists who's teaching the European Christian ways of life, that this is no longer the law, because we're Gentiles. Number two, the people in the African diaspora are not Gentiles. They are the original African Hebrew Israelites of the Bible. And then you might be saying, well, who are the European Jews? The European Jews are people who came into existence at 700 AD. Okay? So that's 700 years after the death of the Messiah. Okay? Which is thousands of years from the time we're talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and them. And they were all African Hebrews. Abraham was a Hebrew, African Hebrew. Jacob was an Israelite. He was the first Israelite, his 12 children. So they were called African Hebrew Israelites. Africans because they were first Africans, the ones who followed Yahweh, who was Adam and so forth. And then they became into the lineage of Eber, which gives you the Hebrew. So that's why you got African Hebrew, Hebrews, or Hebrews, which was Abraham. He wasn't an Israelite because Jacob still had to be born two generations later, who wrestled with the angels, and his name was changed to Jacob. And so you have this African Hebrew Israelites who are in the African diaspora. So if you don't know who you are, then you will be told that you're not under the law. No, if you follow the law of Yahweh, Yahweh said that if you didn't, he would reject you. We read that already. We're destroyed for lack of knowledge of who, knowledge of what, of who we are and what we should be doing. We're not Gentiles. We are not like the European. Okay? Simple as that. They are Gentiles, and they'll tell you that. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You can follow Yahweh and believe him too. But the Bible teaches that we have to follow the law of Yahweh. That's what we read earlier. Otherwise, we'll be cursed. And so, tell me, Americans, African Americans are not blessed. We are cursed. You can say whatever you want, but you tell me the blessings and the cursings. You need to read them. They're found in Deuteronomy 30. They're found in Numbers. They're found in Leviticus. Read them, and you'll see for yourself. It lists all the stuff that we're going through, that we'll be the head. We won't be the head, we'll be the tail. That we will always want something, that we'll be in chains, that they will be able to, that we won't be able to know where we came from. How many African Americans can tell you where they came from? How many people in Haiti and so forth, this African diaspora that have been dispersed, where do we come from? We can't. Everybody else on the planet can. The European Jews claim they can tell you where they came from, so that's not the people that the Bible is talking about. This group of people would not know who they are, where they are, and what their identity is. And they will search for anything to accept identity. And that's what we have done. We have called ourselves Americans, when they're only true Americans is the Native American. Okay? The other people who are running this over here that stole the land, they're European Americans. And we are what we call African American. Now, some people don't like that term, because, like I said, we don't even want to accept who we are. And the Bible tells us all of this. Okay. Now, the Messiah was tested three main areas of temptation, like Adam and Eve. And we're going to read in Luke chapter 1, chapter 4, explains these clearly to us. So the book of Luke, chapter 4, will give us our closing. Okay? And we will see here, these are the ways that we are attacked. There's three ways. As we go through it, listen to it. One is appetite, food, diet, reform, and that's what's needed. That's what Yeshua had. Then the next one that he attacks us is materialism, riches, and glory. And we will do anything to keep our riches and glory, and we will do anything to eat whatever we want. Justifiable of ourselves. And the third one is a misinterpreting of the scriptures through Bible commentary, Sabbath school, Sunday school lecture, curriculum. You will find out, school curriculum, you will find out that there is a conspiracy against Yahweh's people to take them under so that they will not be able to follow the law of Yahweh. And we know that we already read that the Bible says if we don't follow the law of Yahweh, we will be what? Be rejected. So, let's look at this for a minute. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Yeshua, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Amen. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So the same thing down the Daniel and his three boys, they what? They fasted and they ate just pulp or raw food. They were on a raw food diet. They said, give us 10 days and prove it. Then they went from the 10 days and they said, hey, you look all right. They gave it to them for 3 years or the whole time that they wanted. And they were 10 times wiser. And so the test was, do you want food or not? Will you eat? Now, it sounds like the rest of the Hebrews, Israelites, that went into Babylon captivity, a lot of them, not most of them, went and ate the king's food, the delicacy food, the foods of Babylon. Okay? And so since they ate the food of Babylon, what do we find out happened that we don't hear anything about it? Okay, so here, this is our first test of hunger. And then in verse 3 it says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, command this stone that it be made bread. Now notice that. So if that's what the question is, if thou be the son of man, command that these stones be made bread. So there it is, appetite. The same place where Adam and Eve fell. Adam and Eve fell where? They fell from, they left the garden because their appetite. They ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they have. So right where Adam and Eve fell, Yahweh has to pick up again. And that it will have to be the same test that each one of us have to go through. Some of us have to go through it first so that we can get clarity of mind so we can understand what Yahweh is trying to tell us. Get that? So that's the first test for every one of us. You can pass it or you can fail it. It's up to you. Okay? So this is where Yahshua came, and this is where we have to come to at the same time. Okay. Then, verse 4, and Yeshua answered and said unto him, it is written. So notice how he responds to him. He doesn't say, well, hey, I challenge you. You know, no. He says, it is written that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word of Elohim. So notice, when we are attacked, we have to come back with the scriptures. So, but if you don't know the scriptures, you can't come back with the scriptures. That's the whole point. So unless you're filling your mind and your spirit with the word of Yahweh, then you will not have it when you come to this point. And then you are a babe and you are a seed that is being eaten up by everything and everybody else. We have to figure out what is going on. Let us realize the times that we live in. Let us understand all of these things as we study the word of Yahweh. Help us understand the word as we study through this study that we are in right now. So we are now at another point in our study. We've read that was the first temptation. Then we have the second one is this. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now notice, this is the second temptation of materialism. How many people will we kill, lame, cheat, deceive, destroy, steal, rob over oil, over riches, over glory? Before we say it is enough. People who are millionaires want to be billionaires. People who are billionaires want to be trillionaires. So it never stops and you can't spend it all. And the devil said that he showed him all the kingdoms in a moment, glance. And he says that all this power I will give unto thee and the glory. So that's what we are looking for. We're materialists, we're egoists. And so he feeds on that for us. So that we will go in that area. And so what is Yeshua's response? And Yeshua said and answered unto him. Now notice, he got to use scriptures again, because remember, this is the answers. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. So that this is leading to, as you start in your materialism, as you give up that appetite, as you start to fall, then you find yourself in a condition of what? Serving yourself, serving mammon, serving the world. And so this is where we find ourselves. And so the end result is to worship the world, worship kings, worship queens, worship the God of this world. Through what? Tradition. Worship popes. Through tradition of men. Through the tradition of elders. Through the tradition of organizations, of government, of leaders. That's what it's talking about. And then the last temptation that comes to him, which is number three. He says, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written. So now Satan knows that now what happening here? That Lucifer is being distilled or dispersed by quoting the scriptures correctly. Eve quoted the scripture. Yeah, he asked Eve, hey, did Yahweh say you can't eat of the tree of our gardens? Oh, no, she said we can't eat or touch it. So she misquoted what Yahweh said. Yahweh never said you couldn't touch it. Okay, so we see here Yahweh used the devil now using the scriptures against Elohim. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Okay? And so he tells him to cast himself down. Do what Yahweh is going to keep you anyway. So he knew that if he pushed Yeshua, that the angels would catch him. But if he would pretend just jump off to prove a point, and that's what we do. We jump off and we say we'll violate Yahweh's will and he will save us anyway. That is not true. That doesn't happen. And that's what happens with our diet lifestyle. We're eating the wrong things and we're being cursed and we're coming down with high blood pressure, diabetes, and so forth, and overweight and obesity. Even the pastors are doing that. Even the churches are doing that. Even everybody is just going after it because we believe we're Gentile. No, we can't go down that path. Now notice the answer of Yeshua. And Yeshua answered, said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And so we see here that he answered and says, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. So Satan misquoted a scripture. That's our third thing. And we have a misinterpretation of the word through Bible commentary, Sabbath school lessons, Sunday school lessons, school curriculum, church curriculum, all of this stuff, the media, the TV, they are giving us and filling our minds with the cares of this world. This is what is predetermined. You can go one way or another. You can follow Yahweh and go the right way, fill your mind with the word, and that's predetermined of where it will get you, become a strong man and woman in the Messiah. An inner man and a woman will be able to grow and be on the meat of the word, will be grown, not a little weakling. Or you cannot eat of the word and fill yourself with the things of this world and materialism and greed and money and all of these other things that you just start creating caught up in this stuff. And you'll go, how far will you go for cheating, lying, and killing and destroying your own people? Let me give you a good example. Women are givers. I praise them for that. And want to serve or give people food to eat for birthday parties, for potlucks. But they are full of poison. Some of the items they bring to their affairs, they do not eat themselves or serve to their family because of the health effects that they will have to suffer after eating these foods. So why would you serve these poisons to your friends, your relatives, and your so-called loved ones. Most will say because that is what they want to eat. So, because they love to kill themselves, you will assist in helping to kill them? Notice what Matthew chapter 7, verse 10 says. If your son asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If they want a cigarette, are you going to give them a cigarette? If they want reefer, are you going to give them reefer? If they want heroin, are you going to give them heroin? If they want cocaine, you're going to give them cocaine? Because they want it? That don't mean anything. We should not be giving them white flour, white sugar, eggs. We should not be having these things in our diet, so we surely shouldn't be feeding it to them. And then we feed them at these potlucks. We're killing our people. Lobster, shrimp. We need to stop. We need to think about it. We should be giving them fruits and vegetables, things that are healing them. And some of them are dying in our face. And we'll still feed them. Even the hospitals. When you go to the hospital, what do they feed you for breakfast? Eggs, bacon, and, you know, the stuff that ain't no good for you. And milk, cow's milk. Okay, so we need to stop getting caught up in this system and being on lockdown. Such that we are doing what we don't even know, that we say that we're helping our friends and we're killing them. And you think about it. All of this leads to what? Glory. We're trying to glorify them. We're trying to help them. We say we're trying to give them riches. Leads to the worship of the God of this world, to the worship of men, the worship of popes, the worship of kings, queens, the worship of the tradition of men. Read in Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 8. Notice what it says. Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 8. Please turn there with me. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And this is the philosophy. The philosophy is that we're Gentiles, and the philosophy that we're not under the law. The philosophy that we can eat all the unclean animals. And that's a lie. The biggest lie to ever perpetrated the planet. And that if you give money to the church, if you give all of this money, then you will have the prosperity gospel. More lies. And vain deceit after the traditions of men. See, what is it? Is the doctrine and tradition of the churches of men. After the rudiments of this world. And not after the Messiah. So that's what it's talking about. Beware lest any man spoil you. And that's what we are. We are spoiled to death that we get whatever we want and we take whatever we want. And that's called materialism. Through philosophy. This is the philosophy of the prosperity gospel. Of vain deceit. This is nothing but deceit. That you don't even know who you are. As African, Hebrew, Israelite. You believe you're Gentile. So he's letting us know that what? That men will spoil us through their tradition of who? The tradition of men. Okay. Do you think that if we have traditions of what? What else do we have traditions of? The tradition of the elders. Mm-hmm. But let's see what the Bible says more. Okay, let's turn to Mark chapter 7. And let's read verse number 8 there. For laying aside the commandments of Elohim, ye hold the tradition of what? Of men. So the churches have the tradition of men. This is what the doctrine has. And it talks about the washing of hands or whatever. So there is the tradition of men. And that's what we're following. We're no longer following Yahweh. We're no longer following what Yahweh has put in the books. Because we are caught up in the traditions of the elders, in the traditions of men. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, okay? And we want to read verse number 2. What does it say? Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? The who? The traditions of the elders. Organization, church leaders, government. This is where it leads us. Is that where you wish to go? And then you have, then they have what their own Bible commentaries, they have their own Sabbath school, Sunday school. So now you're learning the traditions of men and you're not learning the Bible. You're not learning what Yahweh has put in there. And so these are the three stages that he takes us through. Takes us through the diet, through the appetite, then through materialism and glory and money and wealth and being friends with everybody, feeding them all the garbage that help clog up their mind. And then it leads to number three, the third temptation. And the third temptation is the misinterpretation of the word of Yahweh. So these are the three areas: our appetite, materialism, and the worship of tradition and the elders and dogmas. And he said right there that I will give you all the glory and all the honor. And some people join the church just to join the church, just to be a member of the church. People in the South, they don't even go to, they don't care about what the Bible says. They just go to church. Why? Because they have to be a member. That's like a social club. Okay? And so we can't get into this thing. And that's what it is to a lot of people. That's what I was told. Okay? So this change of attitude, and then you say, well, I want to have a higher degree. I want to get higher, this, that, and the other. So you send your sins, kids, send your kids through the sanctions authorized school system, accredited schools, and they're brainwashing them the whole time. Okay? But you're trying to get the glory. See? That's what he says. He says, I'll give you all the glory and all the power of all of these things. That's what's the second temptation. If you'll fall down and worship me. And that's what we do. We reject Yahweh, what he said in his Bible, and we just worship man. We just worship at the altar of materialism. The love of money is the root of all evil. And then we get to the last one. Because we've been caught up in that, we don't have time to study the word. We don't have the time, the word to get in us. And so we'll read the commentaries, we'll read what they say, and they will be telling us a bunch of deceit that we already read about, lies, misunderstanding, that no man, you know, in Colossians. Go back and re-listen to this study. I pray that you now understand that we are caught up in a predetermined system. A system that affects our body, our minds, our soul, and one that is affecting us because we have the law of sin in our flesh. And then we have another one from the external world, our friends, our relatives, our community, our TV, our everything that we're around. And so we have a chance to choose. Let us pray. Yahweh, please bless us. Help everyone to understand this. Help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of your will. Pray that my words have not been my words, but yours to them. Fill us with your spirit and your love. Guide us. Keep us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. So next week, we're going to be studying another deeper end to this whole thing. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. And may his wonderful grace pour upon you. And may he give you peace.